Okay, thank you. Gisela, can you do a roll?
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 15th of June, we have Avery Doria, Evan Leibovich, Rafik Damak, Richard Tindall, Elaine Pries, Tijani Benjema, Carlos Aguirre. From staff, we have Olaf Nordling and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Alex Gakuru and Cheryl Langdon-Orr. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Evan and Avery.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to ask a question about the agenda, and unfortunately, Evan and I haven't had a chance to talk about it, nor have we had a chance to talk with Olaf. And I'm wondering, as opposed to our normal starting with the work team and such, whether we shouldn't start first with the snapshot document, walk through it, make sure there aren't any issues for publication since today's publication day, and then also talk about the workshop, and then, I assume that if there's any new information to add about work teams that might actually come up in the discussion of the snapshot, or otherwise, at the end of the meeting, if there's time, go through any additional discussions. I wanted to find out what people thought about changing the agenda like that at the last minute, which, to put it succinctly by Olaf, was to jump immediately from 1 to 6. What do people think on that? Does anyone object to doing that?
I agree.
Alan just joined, and I don't know what that is.
That is Alan. I'm glad you finally got the right number.
I called the number in the email saying this is the number to use for this meeting.
Oh, well, yeah. So I'm glad that the right number was gotten to you. Let me put it differently.
Thank you. Actually, I found it myself, but go ahead, please.
Okay. What I was basically suggesting, and I've gotten two agreements so far, is that we take the agenda, and as opposed to going through the standard, go through the various work teams, you know, updates and snapshots, but basically jump immediately to the 6. Although, looking at the way Olaf has laid out the schedule, it was work team, just do a quick update, and then look at the snapshot. So perhaps we can work that way. Perhaps I'm just confusing things. What do people think? Should we just jump to a walkthrough of the discussion?
As long as we don't get caught up on the detail of the discussion on the work groups and eventually get to the Brussels meeting, because the documents and the meeting, in fact, will map to that.
Okay, so you think we should go through the agenda as it's set?
If we're controlled on time, yes.
We have our 90 minutes, I believe. But anyway, so I'm sorry.
But I agree with you, Avery.
So that we should jump to a walkthrough of the snapshot to make sure we've got that.
Yes.
Alan, are you okay with that?
I'm happy with that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Is anyone else? Okay, in which case, the snapshot is in front of us, and Evan, should I take this, or would you like to take this? And then we can switch off on doing the workshop discussion, whichever you'd like to take.
Aubrey, could I just make a quick comment? I wrote
yes,
it in the box, but this is the text as I copied it from the wiki 2 hours ago. So if there's been any edits since, it's not included, just so you're aware of that.
Okay. Has anybody made an edit in the last 2 hours? Not that who's on the call. Probably someone can quickly take a look at the list of revisions just to know if that's the case. I certainly haven't seen anybody write of a revision on the mailing list. And I can't talk and do all that at the same time.
I guess you will not have seen it because I put some comments in the last 2 hours and
okay.
We didn't receive any news.
It was included, Sebastian. I see.
Yeah, but it's not to say that it wasn't included. It's to say that we didn't receive any information that I make some changes, and then you may not if somebody makes changes. Thank you.
So, in other words, your changes are not in what Olaf is showing. Sebastian, is that correct?
It's comments, and it's not on the text.
Okay.
I don't know.
So perhaps when we get to the right place, you can add your comment or put it in. And I see that Elaine has added a request that we add 5 minutes to the agenda to discuss the ICANN blog post that went up 8 hours ago. I must confess I don't know what that is, so that'd be a great idea. And I'll ask, I guess, Elaine or somebody else to introduce the topic, since I don't know. Okay, Evan, should I go ahead with the walkthrough of the document here? Hearing no complaint, I'll go ahead. Okay. I see Elaine has added that it's the letter to providers asking for the show of hands. Okay, great. Okay, so doing a quick walkthrough on the introduction, are there any issues on that paragraph? So anybody that hasn't had a chance to read this, I'll basically walk through it paragraph by paragraph and ask if there's an issue or if people are fine with it as stated. Any issues on the introduction? I'll try not to go too quickly, but I'll also try not to go too slowly. If I skip over you because it takes too much time to mute, please feel free to say, but, I had something on the previous paragraph. Okay, nothing on the introduction. On Work Team 1, background, any issues on that paragraph? Okay, Tijani.
I'm sorry. I just got on. I'm sorry. I'm in South Africa, and we're having some trouble dialing in.
Okay, just to give a quick recap, yes, I put two hands up. Just to give Andrew a quick recap of where we are, we're doing a walkthrough of the we switched around the agenda somewhat, and we're starting with a walkthrough of the document, the snapshot document that we intend to release today.
Okay.
And I've just asked about the introduction, and I'm now asking about the background. I have two hands up already. Was someone also trying to get in the queue that's not on the Adobe?
Yes, this is Tony Harris, just to say I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm here.
Okay, hi, Tony. I guess you picked up on what I said we were up to.
Yes, I'll just hang around and speak when I need to speak.
Okay, please, yeah, and I'll try. Anytime I call the queue, please definitely jump in and get yourself in. And anyone else, too, that doesn't happen to be on Adobe, I'm quite accustomed to building a queue from people by voice. So, Tijani, please.
Okay, thank you. I would like to remove the word full with the principle of cost recovery. Just don't put full cost recovery.
Okay. Anyone object to that before moving on?
But full, isn't that quoting the charter? If the word's in the charter, then we can't remove it here.
Why?
Well, because the beginning of the sentence says, is tasked with meeting the charter, and then in colon, that implies a direct quote.
True, that is a quote. It probably should be in quotes, if it's a quote.
Or in italics.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we have put full cost recovery, because nobody speak about full cost recovery. Everyone speak about cost recovery, and the resolution of the resolution 20 spoke about application and ongoing cost recovery. So here we are behind the resolution, if you want.
Well, let's look at the.
I don't think any of our proposals conflict with it in any case.
We have never been. We didn't have a consensus about the full here in the in our discussion. We always have two point of views. So, and when you remove full, the meaning is not changed anymore.
Yeah, but if it's in the charter, it's there. We can't change it now.
Let's confirm the wording of the charter.
It's the same. It's with full.
It is. It is in the charter. Unfortunately.
Then I think we I think what we can do is certainly put it in quotes, italics, and give a footnote that it's the charter, but I don't believe that we can change the charter on our own. We could certainly appeal to both the GNSO Council and the ALEC to change it. I'm not sure how well that would go over.
Avery, can I get in queue,
please,
Tony?
And I still have Elaine up, but Tony, if you're speaking to this, please.
Yes, well, I've opened a document here which says resolutions of 12th of March of 2010, and it says, whereas ICANN has a requirement to recover the costs of new GTLD applications and ongoing services to new GTLDs, it does not say full, it says costs.
Right.
I don't know if that is the source document we should be concerned with or not, but it is on that board resolution of March the 12th.
It's the only source. Our mandate came from there.
Except, no, actually, that's not strictly speaking true. Our mandate comes from our charter. Their mandate to create a working group came from there. Our mandate comes from our charter. Our charter does specifically say that. Let me move on.
Avery, I have a solution if you want to stay on this subject.
Certainly, please.
If we're using it verbatim, we can't extract one word that we don't like. On the other hand, we can restate it in half the number of words, and then we can do what we want.
Okay, do you have a suggestion of half the number of words?
Let me read it while Elaine is talking.
Okay. Oh, right, okay. Going on. Elaine.
Good morning.
Are you on mute? Sorry.
Hi. So I missed your request for any comments on the introduction. I'm wondering why we don't have the objectives listed somewhere. I think this is the paper we're putting up for public comment. So is the charter going to be included at all?
You mean like at least by reference? Or would you actually think that we should include the whole charter?
It makes sense to me to include the whole charter.
May I suggest that we make reference to it because it becomes pretty bulky. Eh? So if I make a reference to the wiki for charter, because there are plenty of other information that people may find interesting, and I haven't made a reference to the wiki, and I could do so.
Would that satisfy the requirement, Elaine?
I think that should be the minimum that we do. It's only 4.25 pages long, so isn't our charter it's less than one page long, right?
It, certainly if one does not include the milestones or the reference to operating procedures, it's basically the 4+1 objectives and the paragraph. And if we did that, going back to our issue on the background paragraph, then we wouldn't need to quote at all. Mm-hmm. It would already just be listed. You know, and one could say that Working Group 1 is tasked with meeting Working Group Charter Objective 2, period, if we had done as you're recommending. What do other people think of that? Does anyone object to, I understand I've gotten Olaf's alternate suggestion, does anyone object to doing as Elaine suggests, which is to, in the introduction, basically right. Probably it would be between the first and second sentence. Basically, there'd be a sentence saying, you know, the GNSO Council and ALAC established the following charter for this working group. And then next paragraph would be, the JAS working group wishes to report on its current status and findings to date. Does anyone object to that change?
Seems reasonable.
Olaf, can you live with that change?
I can do that, although I find it a bit bulky. But
I understand.
I'll do it.
And it does solve the problem for the background of the next thing in that we don't have to requote it. So it gets rid of that issue, even though I know Alan has his hand up to rephrase. Alan, let me come back to you while we're still giving people a chance to think about this.
Well, I have wording if indeed we need wording.
Do you agree that that the other would obviate the need for wording?
Yes, but it does replicate the word full, which Tijani was objecting to.
So, in other words,
just moves it up a paragraph.
Okay, but we're including it in point of. So maybe we do both. Okay, does anyone object? I understand that Olaf is reluctant.
I would just put a pointer to it, to be honest, but I don't care very strongly.
Okay. Yes, Elaine, I see your hand up.
What about just tacking it on to the end of the snapshot instead of putting it up front?
At the very end, you mean?
Basically, yes. As an addenda?
I would support that.
The text as an addenda?
This is Andrew. Which text are we talking about now?
We're talking about the text of the charter.
Okay.
So that reading the document have a one stop on the charter.
I think Elaine's suggestion makes sense. We could put it at the end.
Okay. Anyone disagree with putting it at the end? Okay, I see no disagreement. So, Olaf, and I understand that you're not quite as unwilling to include it as, not quite as, not, you certainly said you were willing, not quite as bulky.
It follows I can norms.
I from sort of my little perspective was rather to get to the meat as quickly as possible for those that shall read it and provide comments to it. And I think from that perspective, it's an advantage to have that piece at the very end.
Okay, thank you. So moving on. So introduction remains as it is, but there'll be a attachment, an addenda at the end with the charter. Coming back to anything else on introduction before I move back to background? No? Okay, thanks.
Question for you, Avery. Did we get to Tijani's point about
Tijani's point in the coming back to Alan, who has been wordsmithing while we've been talking about other things, and he has, I believe, a suggestion for a resolution to Tijani's point. So, Alan.
Okay, after the colon, that is, Working Team 1 is tasked with meeting the Working Group's Charter Objective 2, but not in italics or in quotes, to identify how the net cost to applicants that fulfill appropriate criteria can be reduced, comma, in keeping with the principle of cost recovery.
Thank you very much.
I love that.
Okay, everyone else get it, or should Alan read it again? And Olaf, is it possible to type that in the notes section?
That's exactly what I want.
Or if you give me access,
I'm pretty slow at that. So
if you give me access, I can paste it in.
If Alan knows how to do that.
With pleasure.
Okay, Alan, I see you are now empowered. Okay, there it is. So that's to identify how the net cost to applicants that fulfill appropriate criteria can be reduced in keeping with the principle of cost recovery. And Tijani, I heard you say that was good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone else have comments on it? Does anyone object to that change? So it replaces everything from to identify to cost in background.
And we keep the introduction of the background. So the Working Team 1 is tasked with meeting. We still mention the Working Group's Charter Objective 2,
yes.
But formulate it. Okay.
Right. It replaces everything after the colon.
Okay.
Okay. Any objection? Safe to move on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Next is process. Any issue on the first paragraph discussion there? Okay. Any issue on the 3 points and the way they're listed?
No.
Okay.
Just a question on the previous one. Are those numbers really the ones that are used in the guidebook, or did they figure out a way to finesse a 6 becoming a 5? If those are what they really used then in the documents, then fine.
Can I respond to that? This is Tony.
Sure.
Yes, please.
They are quoted as that, and I think it's Alan made this comment. He's quite right. It doesn't add up to 185,000.
Yeah, well, they rounded. That's fine.
But,
okay.
But, normally I think the variation is in the fixed and variable application evaluation costs in that second item.
Okay, well, they added the rounded to a 5. That's fine.
That's
okay.
Right, yes.
We're just repeating what they said. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Apropos of that, though, should we have a footnote that says these figures, you know?
These figures don't add up, but they are quoted verbatim from the ICANN documents.
Yeah. Not quite that bluntly, but yes.
Well, that's the truth.
That's basically the figures are as quoted from the documents.
Okay. Well,
slightly more diplomatic, but hey.
I'm not sure diplomacy is needed here.
Okay.
Come on, you got a discount of $1,000 already from the start. Hey, isn't
okay.
That good?
Okay, are you comfortable with putting that in, Olaf?
You want a footnote?
Basically just indicating where the figures came from. And
That's already, there is a footnote, footnote one already.
Oh, footnote one, okay, it's already there, fine, then that's fine. Okay.
So we need another reference to it in one way or another. I don't know.
The alternative would be to put SIC in brackets after each of the numbers, but that may be taken as a pejorative comment.
I think so. Just no matter whether or not it should be.
Okay.
Excuse me, but F-I-C.
S-I-C, what you put after a something that you know is wrong, but you're saying you're quoting verbatim.
Okay.
To me, it's Structural Improvements Committee, so I...
Please, you're going to cascade me.
It was a joke. Let's go on.
Okay. Do we need another footnote there or not? Or is the one up above fine and basically just indicate that all, perhaps just add a line to that footnote saying all figures are quoted from these documents? You know, and then one footnote would do.
No, I think you leave it in a somewhat comment, you have a good rebuttal.
Okay. Anything else before moving on to proposals? Okay.
Did I get that right now? Do we have something on the notes or not?
No, I think we ended up on just leave it and be ready to comment on it.
Okay.
And everyone can have a great laugh. Okay, moving on to proposals. I don't assume there's much to say about the first sentence. Following suggestions have been formulated by WT1. Any issue? Okay. One, any issues with the way one is stated? Okay.
I'm not sure why we're quoting the 184,600. I worry that in quoting it in conjunction with the 26, we're implicitly saying there will not be more than 7 people in this category.
Yeah, I agree.
So what change are you recommending?
Excuse me, this is Tony. Is Elaine on the call?
Yes, she is.
Well, since she wrote it, perhaps she could comment on the rationale she used, if it's possible.
Can you?
Well, when I read the budget and I saw a profit of $184,000 in keeping with the principle of trying to find the funds to justify subsidizing or relieving our applicants of these costs, that seemed like an obvious place. I did change the 7 applicants to several, so we could divvy it up in whatever way we find appropriate. But I did think it was curious that they left a profit in, and that was easily divisible by 26.
Hey, does that work? Tijani, I see your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yes, only to remove the 184.600. Only to remove the figure, but we can keep the sentence.
So we don't have net profit for
why?
Because as Anand said, this will lead immediately to 7 support only. Maximum.
Oh, well, actually, is it the 26 that leads to that? The 184,600 is the documented figure. It's the 26 that leads you to C7.
But we changed the text to say the profit could be used to fully or partially offset the loss.
Yes.
Waiving that 26.
Yeah, since it's partially offset the loss could be bigger than 184,600.
I have another problem with it. I don't know if Richard's talking to the same point or not, though.
Okay. Richard, were you on the same issue, or?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that as a group we're talking about two different things here, I think. I think Tijani and perhaps others are saying that we want to ask for a waiving of the 26,000 regardless of what profit there may or may not be in the entire process. Is that correct,
exactly.
Tijani?
Exact.
Whereas others in the group, I think, and the words that we have here indicate that we could only do that to an upper limit. So it's sort of two different concepts that are on the table, I think.
Right. One is a goal and one is a means, almost. Or a limit. Alan.
Yeah. I would actually take the 184.6 statement and put it after the 3 points in the section on process, and something to the effect of, we note that with the numbers above, ICANN is forecasting a net profit of something for the new GTLD process. In this one, I thought the rationale was not there's going to be a profit, so we have money to spend, but this 26 was designated as a return to reserve, and that's a concept that the Budget Committee can and does waive very often in ICANN. And the principle, and so the issue of waiving the 26 for the needy applicants is just essentially business as usual, in that we often reduce the return to reserve because of extenuating circumstances.
Okay, so would your recommendation be just remove the of 184.6 for the new GTLD program from this one? So basically, leave in the sentence, the document, et cetera, indicates an expected net profit, period.
I would put that before the word proposals as a follow-on to the 3 points in process.
So you would take that whole sentence?
Yeah.
And put that under
process? I'd leave out the number because I don't think it adds a lot, but I would simply note that given the fee structure that ICANN has developed, they are currently forecasting a net profit.
So you basically, is this another sentence in process? Is it a bullet 4 under the fee?
No, I put it as an unnumbered sentence concluding.
And you would just move that whole sentence?
With or without the number itself, yes.
Okay, I see lots of agreement. I see Elaine's hand up. Elaine?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just didn't catch. Where were you going to put it?
As far as I can tell, he's recommending moving this sentence or a variant of it that does not include the money, the specific figure, to the process section is in a sentence following bullet three.
Okay.
Another,
yeah, something like the work team one notes that.
So okay. It would basically be after three in process, work team, no, WT1, since that's what we're using, notes that, and then it's...
And then the full sentence.
The full sentence. Do we want to include the number or not?
No, I don't think so.
Optional, I'd leave it out.
Leave it out. Is anyone against leaving it out?
Leaving what out, Avery?
When we move that sentence up to after three in process,
leaving out of $184,600.
Does that happen? This is Andrew. If to the extent that we can leave out the numbers, I think we give ourselves more flexibility.
Okay, so I understand that nobody is against leaving out the number. So we move that sentence up to after three in process. WT1 notes that, and then the proper sentence from proposal one, but leaving out number.
So it's net profit for the new GTLD program, full stop.
Correct.
Yeah, at the end.
Okay. I think net is not capitalized.
No, it shouldn't.
Okay, and I see check on Richard. Okay, are we okay with one now?
Well, I think in place of that, we need the reference to the return to reserve.
Isn't that a good way? Excuse me, this is Olaf. Isn't that a good way to start the next sentence? Instead of saying this profit could fully or partially offset a loss. To put
a planned return
to reserve.
Well, it's not this profit anymore, but...
Right, well, he's replacing this profit.
This $26,000 program development cost could be waived... was designated for return to the ICANN reserve and could be waived for designated applicants or for several applicants.
Richie, can I jump in?
Yes, please.
So my understanding of this $26,000, I may have misunderstood, but my understanding was that this is something that we're seeking to have waived via the mechanism that Alan just described, whether or not the overall program returns a surplus to ICANN. Is that not what we're saying?
That is what we're trying to say.
Okay. So I think any reference to profit's not relevant then to that first recommendation, is it? We're simply asking for a waiver of the 26, and I agree with Alan. I think we should include some guidance to them of the mechanism by which that would be done, which is the reserve mechanism, right, Alan?
Yes.
Okay, something like, I started the type, the development costs were designated for return to the ICANN reserve and could be used instead to fully or partially offset the loss of waiving. That doesn't quite do it.
The total costs were designated for return to the ICANN reserve and for designated applicants, ICANN reserve period, for designated applicants, this return to reserve could be waived. As often the case for
wordsmithing on the fly here is difficult, but we need to get this done today. Otherwise, we don't have a report to send out. So, I didn't catch that. And who was that?
Development costs were designated for return to the ICANN reserve, period.
Could I do have another suggestion, and that would be to actually hook on a comma after the very first, waive the cost of program development for selected entities qualifying for financial assistance, especially since the development cost was designated for return to the ICANN reserve and could be used in this way instead. Something like that.
How does that work for people? It works for Elaine. Is it possible, Olaf, for you to type that sentence in the notes so people could see it?
Yeah. I'll try.
Good. I did terribly. Okay, so basically we have waive the cost of program development for selected entities qualifying for financial assistance, comma, especially since the development cost was designated for return to the ICANN reserve and could be used in this way instead. What does this refer to? And could be used. That this refers to waiving the cost?
I would stop after the word reserve and add a new sentence that says, it is common ICANN practice to reduce return to reserve based on extenuating financial circumstances.
I like that.
Okay, that was Richard saying you like that?
Yeah, sorry, it's Richard.
Okay. No, I can almost recognize people's voices through this on my headset. Just want to try and get for records and stuff.
Could I please have that repeated before I lose it completely?
I'll try to type it.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I hope the rest of these go quicker.
By the way, Avery, thank you for doing the chairing of this whole call. Usually we've been splitting it.
Yeah, no, and I'm trying to figure out which pieces you wanted.
No, I'm happy you're doing the bulk
great.
Of it. Thank you.
I think excluding any typos.
Okay.
I did one.
Okay, do people accept? So we had the first sentence. As I already read, it is common ICANN practice to reduce return to reserves in light of extenuating financial circumstances. And then we still have to do something.
Then we go on to the we expect sentence.
And then we eliminate the sentence about profit.
Yep.
And we go on to expect very few applicants, meet the criteria for assistance, so the financial burden of waiving these fees should be minimal. Okay, that was quite a bit of surgery. Are people okay with one as it stands now? Okay, usually people jump in as soon as I say okay. Okay, moving down now to number two, staggered fees. Are people happy with the wording there? Did I read it, or has everyone read it enough or have it in front of them? Okay, I get no, I should read it, so I'll No comment on staggered fees? Okay, to move on to three.
Give us to finish reading it. Some of us are slow.
Okay. Richard Tyndall has his hand up. Richard, please.
Maybe you better wait just a minute until folks have finished reading, and then I'll jump in.
Okay.
I have a question. This is Tony.
Okay, Tony, I've got Richard.
It's actually for Elaine. Was there any change in the wording of this second proposal since you first presented it?
We traded the word graduated fees for staggered fees.
Yeah.
That's the only
Okay, so it reads, the paragraph starts off with the word staggered fees, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And then throughout the paragraph, wherever the word graduated showed up, staggered has been put in its place.
Thank you. That's fine.
And I guess you remove the amount of money.
I'll add you to, Sebastian, I'll add you to the queue. I have Richard, then Tony, then Sebastian. Richard, please.
And Alan, too.
And Alan, too. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, this is Richard. So just let me draw people's attention to the second last sentence.
Which one is it? Which one is it?
The one on
where it says staggered fees enable?
Yeah.
Yeah, staggered fees enable. I'm just wondering, I think I know what that sentence is saying, but I just wonder whether that adds anything to the overall recommendation. And I think it might also, I think it detracts a little bit from the proposal there. So what was the reason for putting that second last sentence in?
This is Elaine. I added that because it was part of someone's recommendation, but it also it helps me think that, okay, we're fulfilling ICANN's mandate for expanding competition.
Right, and I guess this is Richard again. To some extent, it goes back to this discussion we've been having about what sort of strings do we think would be subject to. I mean, I've seen a lot of thoughts from folks that they would be strings reflective of some sort of cultural or linguistic or some other form of community identity.
Right.
Typically, if that's the case. Again.
Right, that stuff shows up in the WT2 recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What this second last sentence, the way I'm reading it, it says really, well, let me put this another way. If you're applying for a string that's reflective of your own cultural or other identity, typically there's not going to be another applicant for that string, I don't think. I think this second last sentence, the way I read it, is more referring to I'm applying for .coffee, and so but I'm more likely to be able to get my actual application in the staggered fees.
Hi, I'm not in the queue, but I might offer the example of .Cherokee.
Right, so exactly. So, again,
so
this is Richard.
That could be Ford Motor Company applying for it as well as the Cherokee Nation.
Right,
whoever
exactly.
Whoever has a car called Cherokee.
Mm.
Right, and as you know, if the Cherokee application is a community, they're going to beat Ford Motor Company. If they're not a community,
right. but they're
not going to beat Ford Motor Company. And even if they have staggered or reduced fees, they're still not going to beat Ford Motor Company unless Cherokee is a community.
Right, but with staggered fees, they might not even be able to get so far as to get the first application in, I think.
And that's what concerns me, because if I'm a board member reading this, I'm thinking, I don't think I want to be, you know, subsidizing fees to someone who's going to end up losing in an auction.
But they're not going to in an auction if they're a community with support.
Correct.
How about adding the word staggered fees enable a community applicant? Does that make any sense?
As a board member, I welcome people who will push things to an auction so we'll make millions.
Yeah.
This is sort of...
Excuse me. I'll off, and then I want to get back to the queue, and I'm sorry I broke the queue. I'll off.
I think there's a risk of misunderstanding that particular sentence. I mean, let's also recall that a community may object in the launch a community objection against sort of commercial applicant trying to use a string that's very, very closely connected to them. So that's another avenue. So the way it goes now, it's very wide because it doesn't specify that this is seen for the community case. So I think if we want to keep the sentence, we need to rephrase it. Otherwise, it sounds like this is very much for any string of a commercial value, let's say.
Okay, I have Richard. I have Tony.
No, I have no comment at this time.
Okay. I have Sebastian.
No, it was just to help Elaine to say what she removes on the text, and she removes the dollars numbers in the first sentence.
Okay, thank you. And I had Alan.
Yeah, I tend to support what Olaf just said of trying to rephrase it so it doesn't look like someone's going to put a bid in just to compete. What my hand was originally up on was to mention that I originally suggested the concept of staggered fees or delayed fees with the intent of not only staggering them during the application process, but perhaps over the next couple of years. However, the last sentence of number two, I think, is a more powerful statement than the benefits incurred, and I support the format it's in right now.
Okay, thanks. As a suggestion for the rewording that Olaf mentioned and Alan endorsed, would something like staggered fees enable, spelled correctly, a community applicant to apply for a string that might otherwise have gone to a first and our only group with enough money to apply? Does that fix it? Yes?
Avi, this is Andrew.
Andrew.
Why? I'm wondering whether we get ourselves any extra by all the issue by putting in this back half of your sentence. We talk about it, might otherwise not have whatever. Why not just say staggered fees enable the community to, you know, to get past the bar? Because really, that's what it comes down to, right?
Isn't that what the previous sentence says?
If that's the case, do we really need the second sentence? I guess is my question. I guess I'm coming around to whoever suggested that maybe it causes more confusion than not. I understand the reason why people want it, but I think it may be,
okay,
it may be more confusing, that's all.
Does anybody object to removing the whole sentence? Going on. Alan, you're agreeing with removing it or objecting to removing it?
I am being removing it.
You're
me
agreeing
too.
To remove it, okay.
Me too.
And I know I asked the question in the reverse way. That's why I had the check. So shout now if you want the sentence to stay in. Okay, sentence is gone. So remove. Make a note of it here. Remove sentence. What is that sentence? 1, 2, 3. So sentence 3 in. Staggered fees. Any other issues on staggered fees before we move on to auction proceeds? Okay. Auction proceeds. Quick read. Okay, I see two hands up. I'm not sure who was up first. Tijani.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to go to begin?
Sure. Yeah, I didn't know who was up first, and I saw your name first, so please go. Alan, you get to speak a lot.
Okay. I remember that during the discussion, we said we had almost an agreement that we would not talk about the next rounds of applications. Our mission is for this round. And the auction product, if you want, will not be available before the end of this round. So I don't think that we have to speak about it in this statement, in this snapshot.
Okay. Alan?
I guess I disagree. We're saying receive a partial refund after the auction. I have not a clue how one could implement that or provide any certainty ahead of time of what the refund would be or whether they would get it at all. But I like the idea of staking out the ground, saying some or all of the proceeds of auctions should be used in the general way that this group is looking at. We've talked about it privately many, many times. I don't think it's ever made it into an official document. So I like the concept of staking out the ground, even if it's probably unimplementable in the way it says in the first sentence.
Okay, thank you. One thing I'd like to point out to Johnny is that this one was indicated as one that was merely under discussion and didn't seem to have consensus. So, because now, one thing I do wonder is whether it's adequate to just have said that in the introduction.
Can I get in queue, Tony Harris?
Yeah, please go ahead, Tony. You're next.
Yeah. Everybody. Well, actually, I think we could probably accommodate everybody just by taking out the last part of this, where it says, you know, could be used to refill the fund for subsequent rounds. And then we could accommodate Alan's comment that this is a good idea and stake the ground. And although, as he says, we don't know how this could be implemented, somebody could figure that out. And we could also accommodate to Johnny because we would not speak about subsequent rounds, which I think is a good suggestion. It just opens the door for them to say, we'll do it next time.
So you would just eliminate 4 subsequent rounds and have period after could be used to refill the disadvantaged applicant foundation fund, period. Is that correct?
Well, I think I would take out everything after the registry comma. Then you have all the auction proceeds, the or, and everything that comes after it. I would not mention that because I think Tijani has a good point.
So you're basically saying, just to make sure I understood, that there won't be a disadvantaged applicant foundation fund in this first round, therefore we shouldn't even mention it.
Well, I'm not concerned about the concept of the foundation. I'm concerned about reference to subsequent rounds. Perhaps you
right.
can build the applicant's foundation into the initial part of the paragraph.
Okay, thanks. So the recommendation is to into their registry, period, and drop, or the auction proceeds could be used to fulfill, et cetera. Okay, I have 3 hands up. I saw Alan. I saw Richard's first, then Alan, then Elaine. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, this is Richard. Just a quick question. Why do we think this is not implementable? I don't understand that.
Does that matter at the moment in terms of this note?
No.
Just asking you in terms of, I mean, I think it's a good question, but it does, we're not saying that it's not implementable, and it is something that's under discussion. I'm not trying to cut discussion off, but does that matter at the moment?
Since I said that, I can answer it also.
Okay, Alan, it's your turn.
Okay. I said mind boggles on how one implements it, not that it's not implementable. It's just the issue of trying to give some predictability to applicants, saying we may give you a partial refund. I think the reference to subsequent rounds is peripheral. We're not talking about how to fix subsequent rounds. We're simply saying reimburse a fund from any auction proceeds. And I would not want to remove the second half of the sentence. That there are 2 different concepts. There. One is to give a partial refund after the fact. The other is to give a discount, putting a fund to be that will show up on ICANN's books in a negative value to be reimbursed later. Those are 2 different things.
So, if I understand you correctly.
Not sure I understood that.
Well, let me try and repeat in terms of just the physical change to this. you're saying don't delete after the comma, just the delete for subsequent rounds?
No, I'm not. I'm saying.
Oh, you're coming up with a completely other sentence.
As it stands, may not be phrased in the clearest way, but I support all of what it says,
including the for subsequent rounds.
Saying either give them a refund after the fact, a rather unpredictable thing to put in your financial plan, but nevertheless, or and this is where the wording isn't clear, the implication of the second sentence is give them a discount to be funded after the fact from the auction surplus.
So that's something you want to add to this.
Well, I think the sentence needs some clarity, but I support both aspects of it, is what I'm saying. We can try to wordsmith it. I'll note, by the way, we're an hour into the call, and we're not...
That's what has me very worried. I don't know what to do with this one at the moment from what people have said. Elaine, please. You're the original author.
Thank you. I think we should leave the last half of that the paragraph in there. I'm okay with removing four subsequent rounds. The reason why I put it in there is any auction proceeds would not be administered until well after everything closed out and my thinking. Obviously, this is not something we've all agreed on, and I'm sure we'll get some public comments on it. I don't know if we need to solve this internally before we put it out.
I would make one small change, that after the word fill in the last line, V should be A, since the fund doesn't exist today.
Okay, fine, yeah. Tijani?
Yes, the problem of the auction outcomes or incomes is that it is really unpredictable. And as said one time, Alan, I think, perhaps we will not have one penny from the auctions because the parties will prefer to find arrangement between them rather than paying ICANN money for to get the string. But it is unpredictable, it's not known. And if we put it as one source of financing, perhaps we will have nothing from this source. That's why I prefer to put what is more sure, so that because perhaps they will tell us, yes, you have already the auction, and the auction is not thick.
Tijani, since no one else is in the queue, I'm going to put myself in the queue for a second and totally disagree with you there. I think that there may be auctions, there may not. There may be auctions held before even all of the applicants have made it through the process. I think you're right. It's an unknown, but to have left it off as a possible source, and then if they occur, well, sorry, you know, you never mentioned it, would also be very problematic. So I think taking it out would be a serious mistake, although I do agree with those that say remove the words for subsequent rounds. Alan, I see a check and I put my hat back on.
You could remove the phrase and put or future auction proceeds.
Well, that then brings us back into subsequent rounds, future auctions.
No, but it doesn't say it.
My recommendation is that we drop the for subsequent rounds, leave this in as an object to talk about, and do people object to that? I see agreements with that. I see Alan put his hand up.
My only comment was going to be that there could well be auctions from other things, single-letter domains, which are not necessarily part of the GTLD round, but the money could be used for this kind of thing.
Sure. Uh-huh. And that'd be great to try and attack them.
May I add a word, Avery?
Of course.
Yes, it would be a good idea to put it as a remark that the working group thinks that the incomes of the auction must be or should be used for the support for applicants
and the future. Rather than, it is not our mission to speak about the other rounds, but it is, as Alan said, we have to say that this money can be used here. But for this round...
I don't understand why it's not our mission to speak about future rounds. I know we have to focus on the current, but I didn't realize it was our not our mission to speak of future rounds.
Yes, I am sure.
Avni?
Yes, please, Rafiq.
I thought that we are trying to find sustainable approach, so maybe we are trying to find solution for this round and for the next round. I don't see why we should just thinking about the first round. And I think also that we need to have all the possible solutions for assistance. So maybe not all our recommendation can help at the same level, but we should propose as much as we can.
Okay, Alan, I see your hand up.
Yeah, Rafiq said most of what I was going to say. The board said find sustainable methods. Sustainable means long-term to me, so I don't object to talking about subsequent rounds or future auctions.
Okay. At this point, I'm recommending, and I think we've got lots to discuss on that. I'm not trying to say that this is decided. Nothing in this document is declaring consensus. It's just talking about these are the things we're talking about. I am recommending remove for subsequent rounds and replacing the disadvantage to a disadvantage. I hope we can proceed on that. Does anyone violently disagree? Okay, thank you. Moving on. We have 24 minutes left.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, but we got to get this out today. Unfortunately, people did not do a lot of commenting online, so we got to walk through. So hopefully people will just look at the rest of this with, this is a report going out of what's under discussion, and, you know, please try to be sort of lenient with what you allow to be said. Any comments on 4? I see an agreement from Alan. Can I move on to 5? Any objection to moving on to 5? Okay, I see a check from Carlos. Okay, 5. Any issues? Any problem with moving on to 6?
Moving on. A little bit too fast.
Oh, okay. I'm reading them through at my rate, so I'll slow down.
In five, I would put unknown or variable.
So in consider risk assessment. Working through questions if I can't really expect a total of blah. In unknown cost. An unknown or variable cost, you're saying?
Yeah, because the $60,000 really had two different parts to it.
Okay, any objection to that change? So that's in 5. Substitute unknown. Or unknown or variable. Okay. Pardon my shorthand. Okay. Moving on to 6. Any issues on 6? I see Richard's hand up. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I don't like this phrase, the fee most probably includes costs associated with XXX. I think we need to find out some facts here, if that's true or not. If that's, you know, if that's not correct, then it's going to undermine our argument in general here. So I think this is something that we're able to find out, so we should do so.
Okay, we're probably not able to find out today, so that would mean dropping the sentence for now.
Or it seems to make sense if we do drop the sentence, though, doesn't it?
This is Tony. Can I make a comment?
Please.
And Alan.
Yes. This was something which I originally put into some text which I submitted. And basically, it's true that we don't know that for sure. We can perhaps avoid mentioning .XXX and just say conflictive unresolved situations with strings presented at that time or something like that. And we should also consider that at least 3 of the 10 were rejected outright, so those 3 applications had no cost impact at all on ICANN. And the .post application just breezed through. I mean, that was an easy decision. It was the Postal Union asking for their own community TLD. So basically the whole evaluation process centered, as far as extending in time, it centered around 6 applications, not 10.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with this one. 2 reasons. Number one, my recollection of the documents said the costs from the previous rounds were used to confirm the $185,000 was in the right ballpark, but I don't think it was actually based on the costs of previous rounds.
They did mention it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
They did refer to the previous round and quantified it as $1.8 million.
Right, but my recollection is that was used as a confirmation that we're in the right ballpark, not to base the numbers on. If we're going to keep it, I would figure address the most probably issue by saying the C presumably includes. But
well,
I think the whole thing. But
yeah, because there's no way they can justify that unless we're talking about everything that happened after the round, which basically centers around the problem with .XXX.
Okay. I don't think it's a strong argument, but if we leave it, we should change most probably to presumably.
Or possibly.
That's even weaker.
Sure. That's okay.
So is there any problem with leaving the sentence in and saying this fee possibly includes costs? And because the next sentence is already the fee may have been significantly skewed by, and so it just asks the question, Richard, would that change from most probably to possibly work for you? Yes.
Yeah, so let me first of all make a general comment on this one. I think we can include this, but I just feel this is a weak argument we're making here for a couple of reasons. I think we're saying 2 things here. We're saying last time it didn't really cost that much, so we don't think it will this time either. And we're also saying there was one particular application last time that really cost a lot, and so that's skewed the results of the previous one. I think that's the 2 things we're saying. And I think both of those arguments is just so easily refuted. First of all, this new process is entirely different from the old process, so I don't think there's much rationale for looking at what cost last time and making a comparison to this one. The entire process is different this time. So that's the first. If I'm an ICANN board member or another person looking at our recommendation, I'm going to say, well, I don't really care what it cost last time that much because this new process is very different. With respect to XXX, I might say, well, okay, yeah, XXX may or may not have skewed the results last time, but how do I not know there's not going to be 10 XXX types this time that's also going to skew costs? So just overall, I don't feel there's a lot of strength of logic here. Having said that, as I've said on the list, I don't see harm in asking for it, but I don't find this point persuasive.
Okay, thank you.
Can I get in queue, Tony?
Certainly, Tony. Please.
Yeah, I see your point, Richard, but if you don't respond to this, it would be very easy for the board to say, well, last time it costs this much. So to be on the safe side, I mean, that justifies what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I think that's what they're going to say anyway. To be frank, I think with respect to the $100,000, I think a sensible board person is going to say, I don't really know what it's going to cost this round for this stuff, so The staff have done their best estimate. They've done all this work. You know, it may cost more, it may cost less. If I'm going to give a refund to the, you know, the applicants, I'm going to wait till after it's all done. I'm going to tally it up, and then I'm going to give them a refund afterwards. But to me, it's very unlikely, I think, that we would see a substantial upfront reduction in the 100,000 for our applicants. But that's just my opinion.
Okay, thank you. Take note of that. I've recommended the most probably replaced with possibly. I would note that this is reason number 6, and taking hat off just for a second, if they say this isn't worth talking about, it's not a valid reason, in many ways they undercut an entire basis of their estimate. So that argument goes both ways. Can we move on from 6 and make it all the way to working team 2? Okay, hopefully we have less controversy. The number 1 is rather long, so we probably should go through that by letters. First of all, in number 1, who should receive support? Any issue with the introductory paragraph? We have 15 minutes left. No issues with first paragraph? Paragraph A. No issues with paragraph? Oh, I see. Is Richard, is your hand still up?
He also said
I've actually got to drop off the call, Avery, but I'll see you all in Brussels.
Okay, thank you very much for being here. Thanks. Good travel. Any issues with A? Okay, moving on to B. Any issues with B? No issues with B. Moving on to C. Yes, Fabian.
Yes, hi, sorry. I actually wanted to raise my hand for the following paragraph, sorry.
Oh, okay. Be there in a second.
Okay,
anybody,
thanks.
Anybody on C? Okay, C. Fabienne, you're on.
Thank you. I was just wondering, I'm really sorry to jump in so late into all this work, and thank you very much, everybody, for doing all this. I was just confused a little bit about a few points of this paragraph. For instance, I feel that there is some kind of contradiction between saying that applicants that are geographic names are excluded from support, but some government or parastatal applicants that have government support may be eligible to some support. Isn't there a contradiction in those two points? And second question, applicants whose business model doesn't demonstrate sustainability seems very wide in terms of qualification criteria. I'm really sorry again to ask this question very late into all this discussion, but I'm...
No,
if
thank
I,
you.
Avi, would it be helpful for me? This is Andrew. Would it be helpful for me to try and go
certainly
back to our logic?
As the author, please. But we
okay. By the end, both reasonable questions. Okay, our feeling about the geographic names was that this is an area that was largely relatively well covered, and especially given the pushback and, or the interest on behalf of the GAC and some of the countries in terms of trying to hold on to geographic names, this sounded as if it was something that was likely to be largely government-dominated. Our organizing principle around this was that the goal was to get people who are not going to have access or not going to be able to participate, to get them the ability to participate. And so the thought was that well-funded government, largely government-funded entities would make it without any additional support. In terms of the idea of between having some government and or parastatal support, but not have it be only government, similar kind of thing. The idea here is that some applications from you know, from emerging markets might receive some support from government or possibly governments. For example, in the case of the Quechua community or in the case of the Hausa community, there might be multiple governments that were interested. But the idea was not to subsidize what is effectively a 100% or a captive government effort. Make sense?
I understand. But so then, don't you think that such an initiative that you've just described with some support, not fully supported, may be a geographic name? Like, for instance, if you have a government that doesn't oppose to a given, to a TLD with a geographic name that is actually operated or applied for by a non-governmental entity that receives some support, don't you think that there might be just a contradiction there with those 2 points? I'm just asking.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question. This is the way most of the. I'll tell you from my personal opinion, because this is one that we kind of all agreed on early on in our little subcommittee. But the my personal opinion is that most of the geographic names that have come forward are relatively well financed. If you look around the Swathas, all the ones that I have seen appear to be well financed, or that there's not that much interest in them. And my feeling is that if you're talking about getting, what we were trying to do was to find the ranking, the hierarchy of who should receive funding first, who would receive support first. Obviously, if this expands out and if there are more than adequate resources, it's a different question entirely. I agree with you. But in the short term, .Paris, .Berlin, .NYC, these guys are unlikely to need the kind of support and the kind of very limited support that we could offer. So we figured we'd focus in on the other communities and use this as one of our initial pullbacks. And the other thing is the amount of interest on behalf of governments and how that is somewhat unresolved in my mind. Which things in the end are going to be held onto by governments? That struck me as an outstanding issue and just made it easier for us to narrow the field. Fair enough.
Thanks.
I've got three people with their hands up. I might say this, you know, remember this is not certainly not a final report, so getting public comments on these will be good. I had Tijani first, then I believe it was Alan, followed by Sebastian. Go ahead, Tijani.
Thank you. Thank you, Fabian, for raising this point, because geographic is generally cultural, linguistic. I am not talking about .Paris or .Berlin, where the regional government is behind it, but some regional strengths doesn't have governments there, behind them, and some are applied for by NGOs or civil society organizations. So I don't want it to be exclusive to put it here in D. If you put a geographic string in D, that means that any geographic string will not be eligible for support.
I think, these are not recommended, but I can see, for example, in the case of a .Maghreb, it might not fall into the traditional geographic names. All we were trying to do was avoid Vienna from receiving from looking for support, or one that wouldn't, that would otherwise get enough support from other sources. So, if you feel strongly about it, I don't know what other people think. I'm willing to temper it, or even to pull it back if you feel that it's not that important.
Thank you.
Let me go through Alan and Sebastian. Alan.
Yeah. First, a purely mechanical one. The lead-in sentence, I think, needs a bit of change. The based on our work, I don't think is really needed there, because the whole thing is based on our work. And,
fair enough.
And I would say a series of groups are not recommended for support at this time. And
right.
And I think that puts implies that we may reconsider this once we understand the market somewhat better, you know, in second rounds or something like that.
Or even after comments. I mean, you know, we're putting this out for comment, so we could get strong comments in the same direction
I think adding
I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that if that solves the problem for everyone.
Okay.
In terms of dot the geographic names, I'm of mixed opinions on that one. I think putting that in, gets rid of GAC objections. because it's sort of their territory. On the other hand, it may increase GAC objections.
The intent was to get rid of GAC objection, for what it's worth. That was part of the idea, anyway.
Okay.
So I would, to be honest, delete it and change the first one to say applicants that don't need the support have or should have ample funding or something like that, you know, to imply, you know, Doc Paris is not going to be on our radar. I think mentioning it draws focus, which may cause a problem, and probably better to omit it.
Sebastian.
Yes, it was on the same topic. If we want to help candidates we don't know yet, and they even don't know yet where they come from, it could be that it could be one geographical name from a community with a support, a letter of support of the government, but no money from the government. Yes, .nyc, .berlin, .paris, and .bcn. With four different business models, don't need our help. But who knows what will come in the future. And what we are trying is to find new subject, new project. Then we can't base on what we know today to write our documents. Because if not, we can stop our work, I think. Thank you.
Avri, in the interest of time, this is Andrew. Can I suggest that based on the feedback we've gotten, let's take out the .paris line entirely? Okay, it may cause more controversy than it's worth, and I propose to the changes that I don't remember if it was Alan or whoever to the first the initials the series of groups are not recommended. That line I'm fine with those changes. If Carlos, do you agree? I don't want to speak on behalf of just of everyone, but I'm comfortable with both of those changes.
So that was substitute based on our work with at this time.
Yes.
And was there another recommendation for that first sentence? If so, I didn't catch it.
No.
Oh, okay. And now you're saying delete bullet three.
The one that has the...
Or just delete Paris and others.
I am. If people feel strongly, and I'm hearing, we were initially doing this on the basis of the .paris.nyc and trying to use this as a marker. I hear what people are saying, and I hear the controversy regarding whether this will help us or hurt us with GAC. So I say, if everyone thinks that it's best to pull it out, I have no objection at all.
Okay.
And I want to move on because I'm concerned about time.
Right. We have 3 minutes left.
Wait,
either we're going to go over or we're going to end without finish. So it was delete bullet three.
Communities
Sebastian,
may.
Sebastian, you still have your hand up?
Same time.
Huh?
No, I don't have.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. So any objections to that? I saw a couple agreements. I saw no objections. So and we substitute based on our work. We substitute at this time for based on our work, and we delete bullet three.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to what kinds of support might be offered. This is rather long. Can people stay a little longer? And we try to walk through the rest of this quickly. But as I say, this does need to go out today. And I'd hate to send it out without people having had a chance to comment on these last things.
Avery, this is Tony. I have to leave the call now. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I see a lot of agreement was just going on, so let's just plow on. I apologize to anybody that has to drop off. I totally understand. Any issue with the introduction? What kind of support might be offered? Into three categories. Okay, any issues with category one? Give yourself a little time to look through it.
I will say for the record that this was in early, last week before I left for South Africa.
Yes. Oh, no. Totally understand.
I'm calling you from vacation.
Thank you very much. I totally appreciate it.
No, Avery. I just found out that the last game of the World Cup, for the last game of the first round for the USA, is happening just at the moment where we are speaking, which
really?
Is tragic. USA Algeria is the exact moment that we are speaking.
Oh, I thought it was a football game. It's not playing yet. Anyhow, no comments on 2A? Okay, 2B. Technical support. Any issue with that? Fabien, I see your hand up.
Yes, again, sorry for this remark that comes very late into the process. I apologize again. I'm just wondering if it's appropriate to name a potential provider here in the last bullet point of B, Cocoa-type backend service. I mean, I think that if we want to stay generic, saying lower-cost registry service is clear enough. And I just would like not to already be involved at this stage into potential providers, because I feel that would be the identification of such providers, I feel, is one of our objectives, or I think is in our charter, right?
Yes. One thing I would point out is we've had various extensive discussions on COCA and the extension of that and sending out a letter to other providers sort of asking them, are they willing to do something similar?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's COCA type. I see Alan's got a hand up. Sebastian had a check, which I guess means he agrees with you about removing COCA. Alan.
Yeah, I would remove it from this document. But I might put a pointer to that blog entry that Elaine mentioned, which is asking for support for GTLD applicants and addressing it to registry service providers. And we could add a sentence saying at least one registry service provider has indicated they support this, but in fact others have also. VeriSign, I believe, has gone on record of saying that they would be receptive to interesting requests.
Okay, thank you. I've got Sebastian's hand up. I've got Fabien's hand still up. I don't know if that's a new up.
Aubrey, can you put me in the queue, Elaine?
Okay, Elaine. Okay. Go ahead, Sebastian.
It's one of my remarks in the document. I wanted to add in the letter send, but it's already sent to know who are already doing that, because we are not inventing the wheel, and I know that some projects are already sustained or held by backend registry or by registry. Then it's not something new, and COCA is one among them, but it's not the only one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Elaine.
I'm okay with replacing COCA with the phrase shared registry services.
Shared registry services?
Want. Mm-hmm.
So substitute COCCA type with shared registry services. Shared registry services, and then take out the back end service too, correct? So it would be replace COCA type backend service with shared registry service or shared registry backend service.
Isn't shared what grouping means?
Maybe we could add somehow put cooperative model or something in there.
Using a cooperative model?
Yeah.
I see Fabien agreeing. I see Sebastian saying no. Okay, I have Andrew with his hand up. Andrew, maybe you have a solution. Okay.
I think so, yes. First of all, for everyone, there was no intent to favor any provider in any way. This is just a name that came up in our conversations, and so as I was trying to get this document finished, that's why it ended up there. The end result is I think we do want to go with the generic, because there may actually be people who wouldn't otherwise, you know, who may not even be offering this service now, who might be willing to. We want to encourage as much interest as we can. Obviously, that's going to help us. Going to help us lower the cost. So why not just say lower cost slash registry service slash shared registry? I mean, the cooperative, whether it's a cooperative model or not, does that matter? It's the shared aspect of it that's important, isn't it?
Okay, so you're saying remove the using cooperative model and just substitute COCA type backend service with shared registry service.
So the idea
that
is that it is either low cost, lower cost, or shared. Something that's what everybody wants, right? You want to provide the widest possible amount of, you know, either everyone they do it as a collective back end or they do it as a lower cost back end, right? Am I understanding correctly?
I think so. Yes, I get a check, and I have an Alan with hand up.
Yeah, isn't shared and grouping that we need one or the other?
So, in other words, it could be replaced the whole sentence, lower cost registry service or shared registry service?
Lower cost or shared registry services.
Lower cost. Lower.
It could be and or.
And or.
Sure.
And.
I have no objection to that. That makes sense to me.
Shared registry.
Sorry, this is Fabian. I'm having difficulties with the Adobe Online Connect. Can we just say lower cost registry services? Isn't that covering any possibilities of implementation of this lowering of cost by sharing or being cooperative? Or
it might, but they're also they could be overlapping categories, I think.
Okay.
So lower cost and or shared registry service, would that work for people?
Yeah, I would put back end registry services. I think it focuses on what we're talking about.
So lower cost or shared back end registry services.
Yeah.
Or registry back end service.
No, back end registry.
Registry.
Yeah, I think that's correct. The back end registry.
Okay, great. Going once. Only one check. Going twice. Moving on. Any issues with support for build out in underserved languages and IBM? Any issues on those three bullet points? Moving on. Other recommendations? Any issue with the first paragraph, the first line? Any issue with A? Self-finance. Any issue with... Oh, I see it's Tijani.
Yes, I don't know why we are tying ourselves with this 50%.
Tijani, this is Andrew.
Yeah.
The idea of 50%... There is not a magic number in my mind, but the idea of 50% was only to make sure that there was adequate internal support for the application, so that such that realistically we're not likely to have that much money to give out, and 50% would be a fairly substantial amount for us to for this group to be giving out, and so that was the reason we chose 50%. If you think that there is a better way of stating that, from my experience, if there's not a substantial amount of applicant, applicant contribution, the thing isn't likely to work anyway.
Yeah, but 50% is very sharp. If someone bring 45%, we will exclude him.
How would you propose to make
reasonable? I would say reasonable part of the investment.
I understand your point. I think you risk being very mushy. My inclination would, in a case like this, would be to say, to give some flexibility if they were close to 50%. But I think the principle is what we're trying to get at.
Okay. Can I come back with a possible recommendation?
Please.
If we substitute, and this is in the top line, WorkTube team also agreed on, also discussed a series. We obviously need more discussion on these. Is that okay, Change?
Say that again, Avi.
We replace, I've been trying to do that everywhere. I'm surprised I didn't catch this one earlier. Has agreed on a series of principles, has discussed a series of principles, and we obviously
That's fine.
Are talking that
about is no question. These were all the principles that had come up and we had discussed.
Yes, that's right.
So are you okay with leaving A alone as long as we're not saying we're agreed on it, Tajani? And therefore, we still will discuss it some more?
I don't know. I am not absolutely against, but I would like to... I don't want to see a very interesting applicant that is excluded because he has only 49% of the total amount.
Yes, I totally understand your point, and that's why I'm talking about switching this. So as opposed to trying to resolve the issue now, just basically say these are things that have been discussed, and, you know, we're going to continue discussing, and we'll get back to that point.
Okay.
Fabien?
Can I propose that we actually leave this point open and maybe not state those 50% and potentially expect some feedback from the public comment period on this specific way of implementing the self-responsibility of the applicant that gets support? Because, for instance, you could have somebody that commits to help an applicant gradually, or like the support would be more than 50% at the beginning and would gradually reduce over time. So I'm just saying the public comment might bring in some propositions, some ideas that might be interesting in this area of proving self-responsibility of the applicant that's being supported.
I think leaving it open is what we've done by switching from also agreed to as discussed.
Can I make another suggestion, Avi, that might get us out of this real quickly?
I also have Alan and Olaf with hands up. Olaf, allow you to jump in quickly.
Yes, very quickly. As a general rule, the more precise our recommendations, the more feedback we get, and then we can change.
Right. Thank you. Alan and then Andrew.
Yeah, if there's really a lot of concern here, we can change the guidelines, which imply some level of flexibility. Find the way it is for coming in comments. Are we taking comments on items past A or only A right now?
I was talking about all of them, but we're specifically on.
Yeah, I have a. Let's finish on A then.
Okay.
If you can.
I've got Carlos and Andrew. I had Andrew first and then Carlo.
Yeah. Okay. Two things. Number one is, in the interest of getting us off this call before we're all very old.
Yes.
The goal of this, if you look at the introductory paragraph, it's agreed sense of principles with quotes on them that are recommended to guide the community as the support process is finalized. It couldn't be mushier than that, okay? First of all. Second of all, honestly, guys, I mean, I write for a living, and I made it as mushy as I could. The second thing is, if I get the concern about 49%, so then how about saying in number A, or letter A, I can give you equal support. It should comprise not significantly more than 50%, and let's move on. Again, the goal is to get comments. If it's significantly more than 50%, then we're really not very independent, and that's not going to work over the long term, is my guess.
Good word.
Okay, I see an agreement from Fabian. Carlos, stop. Carlos, you have your hand up.
Okay, thank you. Avery, the idea when we talked with Andrew about this issue was that the support is not a gift. So the applicant need make some effort to achieve some funds to give the new JTLD. So the percentage can change. But we think that the 50% is a good percentage for give a kind of support. That's the idea. I repeat, support is not a gift, and we think that the applicant needs to make some effort to get some other support. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to move on from this one. We'll do the substitute of not.
Hello?
I don't hear you. Avery?
I think Avery died.
No, not again.
Who said that?
Yeah, starvation.
full chair.
She was about to say the significantly more than 50%.
Right. Yeah, I clicked out and then I clicked back in for some reason.
Okay,
so good.
I was just
dying.
Channeling you, Aubrey, that's all.
No, thank you very much. I think my battery's dying, so I might disappear and have to call back. So moving on, we can. Alan, you had your hand up about another one of the bullets.
Yeah, on B, I would add something that this would not preclude longer-term support based on the first 5 years' experience.
Alan, our concern was that we did not want anybody to become what is effectively a ward of the state.
I understand, but based on the experience, I can. We're not ruling out that there might be some. You just can't count on it. I don't feel strongly on it. I just thought we should cover ourselves.
Yeah, my guess is we might get blowback the other direction, where people say, "Well, there's nothing in this that keeps you from having a forever commitment."
I withdraw.
Well. I can't elect it.
Avery, you are here?
I think Avery has problems.
Yeah. I think.
So, I think Evan can take the.
Evan?
Evan is here? No?
Is Evan not there?
Okay, so, we have two liaisons, so maybe if Carlos, you want to...
Yeah, my problem is I don't have internet, I don't have the stuff in front of me.
Okay.
Okay, so at least maybe...
Would it be helpful for me to walk through it then, since I know it the best?
Yes, please.
Okay. We discussed the sunset period, and I think we agreed, if I'm understanding correctly, that we'll leave it as it is for now. Letter C was transparency. Support requests and levels should be made public to encourage transparency. Any objection or comment?
No.
So far, so is okay for everyone. Good. Hearing no objection.
Andrew.
Yes, sir.
I am a little bit concerned that now many people drop out, even our share. Avery,
I'm still here. I just don't have internet or really the ability
to
work as well right
now.
I'm back into Skype.
Just Avery and Evan, I am concerned that many people drop out and we are talking about agreement. I'm not sure that agreement just with the few people who are still here is enough. Maybe we need after to see with the rest of people who drop out or didn't attend this conf call.
My problem is, Rafiq, that we've had this text up for a week. It needs to get sent out today. And, I think we have to move on and finish this text. And it is only sent out to the initial.
Yes, I understand, Avery. But, for example, I had some concern that we discussed about a previous point about applicants that are geographic name, and I understand that people want to move out, but I still have some comment about that. But I'm not sure that if we can go, we are following this, it's okay, but it's up to the rest of the group. So.
Rafiq, who's dropped now?
Lots of people have dropped out. I mean, that is indeed. I've got Elaine and Alan up. If we get into spending a lot of time discussing about whether we're going to continue discussing, this will truly get monstrous. Elaine?
Just a reminder, this is merely a snapshot of the work we've done so far. It's not our formal proposal.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Thank you. Alan?
Yeah, none of the people who dropped out said they don't feel comfortable, you know, and we should delay because of it. And I get it. Just a snapshot. I don't think there's a lot controversial left in the rest.
I don't think so either.
Anything else. So I would keep going.
Thank you. Elaine, your hand is still up. Did you?
Sorry, I'll put it down.
Okay, thanks. So had we finished on sunset period, or can we leave that one?
I was the only one who rejected, and I withdrew it.
Okay, fantastic. Anything on C? Anything on D? Sebastian.
Yeah, I don't understand the sentence at all. Maybe it's my poor English, but I have the impression that we say something and the reverse next sentence. Then I would like very much that somebody goes through to be sure that we are saying something useful.
Right. I think what we're saying there, if I understand it, maybe the sentence does, is that, and applicant form is that, we might want to change the title to applicants are not limited to by profit or nonprofit. And then the explanation, while many groups start out as one, they may morph into the other.
I think there's a word missing. If the sentence is possible,
yeah.
It reads, I think it should be applicants would not need to be nonprofits.
That's correct. That was the intent.
It's what my question, but, you know, Alan, thank you.
Okay. So what is the change?
A little bit here.
Add the word not between would and need.
Yes.
Beginning of the second line.
Yes.
Applicants receiving support would not need to be.
Yeah.
So, D, substitute would be for would not need to be, or something like that. Would be, would not
Thank
need
you.
To
that
be.
That was the intent, and I'm sorry, my internet
okay.
is going off and on, so my apologies.
Okay, thank you. Sebastian, your hand is still up.
Yeah,
you
but
fine?
That's okay. I
okay.
am fine.
Anything on E? Anything on F? Okay. Now, we had the additional questions and possible responses. There was only one. Two. Any objection to these? No, I would. Okay, I would like to say that this document now, with the changes that are listed up in the notes, can be put out. I'd like to ask Olaf, can you make the changes?
Absolutely.
Can you be the official pen?
Got and track then, of them all. With
okay,
one,
and,
could I just
and if I
check one thing, and it is, did we put significantly into A?
I believe
under,
so. Yes, I believe so.
Yes.
I said it, and no one objected, not significantly more. And my notes, I tried to capture the ones that I have. If there's any issue, we can go back. On the workshop, we've put out a list of panelists. Please comment on the list if there's a problem or something, but I think we've got a good selection of panelists. Of course, if you were listed as a panelist and you don't want to be one, flag that as well. The last thing is, before we close, since we spent so much time already, Elaine, you wanted to say something about the note.
Yes, yeah, so the ICANN staff posted the letter requesting that registry services providers respond to our request for show of hands on who would want to participate in our provider clearinghouse. So that's posted, and they are willing to do an announcement also. It hasn't been the forefront of our discussion, so maybe, Avery, you and I could talk about this after this call or something.
Sure.
About how we would put this out as an announcement. I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention that it's out there, and responses will come into our mailing list. You may have seen McKaylee already responded. Thanks.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. Andrew, your hand is up.
Yes, a quick note on the second queue in additional questions and possible responses. I think
yes.
Elaine and Richard commented on that, and I responded to their comments in email. I have no objection to I have no objection to changing this if people feel strongly about it.
Okay. We'll have to check through the change.
Okay. I don't think that this is a major point in any case. And if you feel that it taking the additional questions and possible responses out of the document entirely, I have no objection. They were for our edification.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I was thinking that I wasn't sure it belonged there, but since nobody else objected, I wasn't going
to
say anything.
I am happy to have it removed either way. If you and Olaf think that that's a better makes a better document, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, thanks.
Hello, please, that went too quickly. Which what are we talking about now?
We're talking about the whole section, additional questions and possible responses.
Okay.
Lane, I see your hand up.
For question two, I think it's important that we do note that we have talked about what size requirements we might put in place. I don't know if it's necessary there, but somewhere in the document that it is something we have considered.
Then I would leave
so
it
we
as
should
it
leave.
Just, yeah,
so then we should just
is.
Leave it as it is. Okay, great. And I will forget it all. No change.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
One more. Formatting, I put a space between the two bullets.
Okay, thank you. Anything else before I close this? I thank you all for sticking with the call, and I thank you all for putting up with my somewhat impatience at times. Anything else before we go?
Navri, I thank you for sharing my load of this meeting.
You're quite welcome. And okay. So
and I send out the finalized the list as well. Eh?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll do that in a Word document.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, and good travels to everyone. And talk to you in Brussels, either in person or remotely. Bye-bye.
Bye bye. Bye.